no question about it. The most important question in life is about death, isn't it? And you have all of that short life to consider it. And that's what we do on nights like this. We'll just keep the stories coming. You be the judge of the person. Now, so far, I judge them to be pretty regular people. How about you? West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. This is Kyle from San Antonio.
Hey, Kyle. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you. I have a story for you, something that happened when I was just a hair over 4 years old, something that scared me so badly back then and still does now about 25 years later. I get goosebumps thinking about it.
So you remember, you have clear memories of being four. Some people don't. I guess I do, and even further back than that, I can actually remember being in the crib.
Yeah, I do have some very good memories of, you know, 3 or 4 years old around that time, but this one particular incident kind of seared itself into my brain because of how bizarre it was.
All right, what happened?
All right, my family lived in Northern California at the time, town of Chico. And we had a motorhome, a very, very big motorhome that we would take trips in. And one summer night, I think it must have been a 4th of July weekend because my parents had decided to just take me and a couple of family friends on a little evening trip to some public park that was a little ways away along the Sacramento River. So we were in the motorhome, and we never ended up making it to the fireworks festival because of this thing that I saw. Still don't know what it is. I'm hoping maybe some of your viewers might have an idea.
I don't have viewers. I have listeners radio, so you're going to have to describe it.
Okay. Well, while we were on the road, it was a dark, unlit highway, a heavily forested area, as I remember. At some point on that trip, I decided to go to the back of the motorhome, away from everyone else, because there was a window right next to the bunk bed that I liked to look out of.
Uh-huh.
And I went back there, looked out the window, and like I said, it was pretty much pitch black outside. You couldn't really see anything, but I was watching the, you know, the shadows of the trees going by. And all of a sudden, something appeared in the window right across from me. It was a face. It looked like a man's face, except it was hanging upside down.
Oh, brother. Now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You're in a motorhome. You're moving, or you're moving, right?
We were on.
Because you said things were moving by the window.
Uh-huh. It must have been a little state highway or something.
And so here's an upside-down face, like this thing's on your roof looking down at you.
Yeah, well, that would be the easiest explanation.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. It had a...
And so what did you do?
Well, it's obviously frightened me very badly. It had these glowing eyes. The face itself was had a blank expression, but the eyes looked like they wanted to do something
Let me guess.
Very bad to me. So,
glowing red.
Well, I'm actually a little bit colorblind, Art.
Glowing will do. Oh man, that's.
They were glowing and they didn't look very friendly. So
yeah, oh no.
I went screaming up to the front of the motorhome.
Yes.
And freaking out, you know, telling my parents and the couple of friends that were with us that I saw, you know, a bad man's face looking at me through the window. And
yes.
I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know why they believed me, but they obviously saw that I was scared enough that I thought I had seen something.
Yeah, if someone's scared enough, you're going to read truth into what they're saying. So what then?
They pulled the motorhome over on the side of a road.
I would too.
Yeah, my dad peeked his head out of the door or whatever, and he saw someone on the roof of the motorhome. And so he ducked back inside, and he got His friend that was with us, who was, I think he was an ex-Marine or an ex-Navy guy, a very big, tough guy.
Yeah.
So was my dad. You know, they were guys that would be afraid of you know, a hitchhiker on the
road. So they both went out there and did what?
Well, they said that they saw what looked like a little skinny college-age guy running away into a field, and they said that they chased him into the field, but he disappeared in the field.
Disappeared.
And, yeah, I'm not exactly sure what my dad meant by that when I was talking with him about that.
All right, skip then to this. What do you think you saw?
I am not sure to this day. I just got the impression that that whatever it was that was looking at me through that window did not have good intentions at all.
I got you. All right, thank you very, very much. Going down the road, you've done that, right? Whether in a car or a motorhome, just looking out the window, watching the trees and the scenery go by, and a head upside down with glowing eyes pops upside down, staring you right in the face. Yeah. Hi there, you're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with, well, Ghost to Ghost AM. Okay, Dana, we don't allow last names on the air, so I had to bleep that out. So, suffice to say, it is Dana calling from where?
Calling from Arizona.
All right.
The Clear Channel and KFYI, your signal's coming in loud and strong over this Halloween Eve tonight.
Way to rock with a promo. So, you have a story for us?
I have a story. I have a son, Dylan, who... when he was about, he's about the same age as I was when this happened. And the story I'd like to dedicate tonight for all your, the children, the listeners, who either their parents have said they could listen to your show or they've had to wait for their mother and father to go to sleep.
So I honestly hope it's not too many children listening. Really, I do.
There might be a few. A long time ago, when I was young, I was very fortunate because my best friend was also my cousin. It had been a Friday night, and I was going over to my aunt's and uncle's farm to do a sleepover with my cousin Kelly. And late that night, it was a great night, but we had heard noises coming from his window, from the outside of the farm window. Now, I'm sure that many of the young listeners have, from time to time, might have heard noises coming from their window.
Uh-huh.
Now, my uncle and aunt had a big farm, but the farm was right next to the old Mesa Cemetery. So that's where these noises were coming from. Early Saturday morning, we got up. Kelly and I loaded our Daisy Red Ryder BB guns and proceeded to...
Heavy armament.
Yes, heavy armament of a time that's long gone here from things like that.
Yes.
So we took our guns and loaded them with BBs and got ready to sneak out of the house to go over to the cemetery to see what could have been going on last night and the noises that we heard. As Kelly and I were leaving out very quietly out the door, his two younger brothers, Steve and John, had woken up, and they saw us, and they wanted to come. So in lieu of waking my Aunt Helen or Uncle Wayne up to let them know what we were doing, we took them with us, too. So off we went into the early morning with our Red Ryder BB guns for an adventure.
Mm. Hunting ghosts with BB guns. That's good.
Exactly. We were a little scared, but we couldn't let Kelly's two younger brothers, Steve and John, know that something might be wrong.
Yes.
And as we got to the cemetery, it was very ominous, and my heart started to race. And they look. They have these old cypress trees there, the Italian cypress trees that get so big. And the large trees in the cemetery cast a dark shadow. And as we walked, you could feel your heartbeat moving. And then the shadows seemed to be following us as we walked down the long, lonely cemetery road. Now, as we walked, Art, we came to what looked like a pile of fresh dirt. And as we got there, sure enough, there's this pile of dirt about 4 or 5 feet in height.
Pretty big pile of dirt.
Was a big pile of dirt. Now, if you've ever seen a gopher dig a hole, how it throws the dirt out, you get the fresh dirt, and then it kind of starts to dry.
Yes.
And this is what this pile was like. There was no shovel digging chumps or anything. This was a pile of fresh dirt like that.
Got it.
By the pile of dirt was a hole that was about 7 or 8 feet. And by the hole in the pile of dirt laid a casket that was all charred and burned out.
Oh, now, man.
We looked at the casket not knowing what might be in the casket. We're going to see a body, where we're going to see bones, what we're going to see.
I'd be voting for a body, probably.
Well, there's like a smell of a burned, kind of a singeing burn smell.
Oh.
we get to the casket and we look into the casket, and what should we see? Not a thing. The casket was still warm to the touch, but the inside of the whole casket was completely charred, completely burned out.
Oh man.
Now, Art, as young boys, we didn't know what to do, so we thought we'd get Doug, Mark, or Craig, and they were some friends that were about 2 or 3 years older than us, and we figured they'd know what to do.
Yes.
So we ran off down to get Doug, and he came back with Mark and Craig, and they decided that they would take the casket and take it over to Doug's barn and put it there for safekeeping until we could figure out what to do with it.
Why?
Well, we didn't know what else to do with it. We found the casket, and,
yeah.
You know, finders keepers.
Yeah,
we didn't
know
any better as young boys.
I guess.
We took the casket and put it over at Doug's house and kind of hid it in the back of the barn until we could figure out what to do with it.
Yes.
Many years have gone by. The casket's been used for haunted houses. It's been used for spook alleys every Halloween. But nobody really knows the true story of what happened and how it came to be. And one year, the Emerson School was doing a haunted house, and they had wanted to use the casket for their haunted house. And somehow I had gotten volunteered to have to lay in it dressed as a vampire. And I could only take about an hour because it just creeped me out, just being in that casket. So whatever happened. But through all these years, there's always been three questions in my mind, Art, that what could it have been? Was it damnation, resurrection, or just grave robbers?
God, I don't know. But that's one hell of a story. Thank you very much. A burned out casket. Finders keepers. As it relates to caskets, can you imagine? Still all warm. As if, I don't know, it sprang from the dirt or something all by itself and the occupant gone. Nothing but heat left. Finders keepers. God, only kids, huh? Hi, you're on the air, Ghost to Ghost 05. Welcome.
Are you talking to me, Art?
I am talking to you, sir.
Okay.
What is your first name and where are you?
Well, it's Ivy, and I'm Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, you know? Ivy, what's up?
Okay, well, you asked for somebody to send you email on ghost stories. I've had several ghostly experiences.
All right, well, we only have time for the scariest of them all.
All right. Well, we were living with my in-laws at the time. I was married, and I was working the night shift, and it was my night off. Everybody else upstairs sleeping, and I was sitting in a semi-darkened living room, lit only by a street light outside, meditating on nothing in particular. Suddenly, there was a presence in the room by the TV. Nearly everyone's had the experience of sitting in a crowded auditorium and felt someone staring at the back of their head.
Sure, sure.
At that one person. That's how I sense entities. Anyhow, I've had several such experiences, but this one is very strong. I also sense basic emotions such as anger, fear, confusion, and so on, and I was sensing great fear. I saw nothing but the inside of the room. I said something like, "It's okay, go outside and someone will be there to meet you." In just an instant, whatever or whoever it was beside my chair and gave me a hug that almost knocked the wind out of me.
A hug?
There was no physical feeling to this, but it was definitely a powerful hug. And then in an instant, it was gone. I spent the rest of the night wondering exactly what had happened. The next day, while I was sleeping, my mother-in-law called Uncle Harold, her 90-year-old brother-in-law who lived across town, to see how he was doing. There was no answer. So she took a key to his house and went over to check on him. When she got there, she could see him sitting in his easy chair, but there was no response to her knock, so she let herself in. The best guess was that he had died at the exact time that I had received my visitation the night before. It was after I got up and told them of my experience the previous night, and they informed me of Uncle Harold's demise, that led to some interesting conversations.
But I bet. No doubt in your mind about where that hug came from, right?
Pardon me?
No doubt in your mind about where that hug came from.
Oh, I have no doubt at all. Uncle Harold and I were very, very close. And he had willed his house to my mother-in-law, and since we didn't have a home at the time, we moved into there. It was just full of his little inventions. He was quite the inventor. And when I got a novice ham license, I was privileged to use the same antenna that he had used to contact Admiral Perry on at least one of his polar expeditions.
Well, thank you very much for the call. It's always wonderful to move into a house where, if you're a ham radio operator, where there's already an antenna. But in this case, a hug, huh? Yes, already indications of a sort of a early theme that the dead want to come back at least long enough to let somebody know that they're all right, or in some way give them an indication. I believe I had such when my father passed. Is it that, or is it that you're looking for something? Well, I can tell you honestly, I certainly wasn't. In the case of my dad, it was a little bat that landed on our porch on the morning of his passing. It was so unusual, it stayed the day and it just left, and it was fine, but this bat just flew virtually right down to my feet on the front porch, and just, it was bizarre. Anyway, I think that those who pass do try to let those who remain know in some way, sometimes very graphically, that they're still there. Good morning. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM, Ghost to Ghost AM with Art Bell.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, this is Mike from Vancouver, Washington.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey. Yeah, I wanted to tell you a story about when I was around 11 years old. I went to a church camp. I loved this church. It was Sky Lake. It was in the Windsor, Damascus area of New York.
Yes, sir.
And, well, it's kind of like, if are you familiar with, like, the Friday the 13th movies? You know how the kids are with their campers with the...
Of course.
You know, you have the boy group and the girl group. Well, we all went out in a field and did a stargaze. It was about 30, 40 of us. And, well, I got woke up in the morning, early morning, about 4 o'clock, 4:15. It was where the sky was just starting to turn light, and it's still dark. And, I thought, I might as well, everyone's dead asleep. The fog is rolling in, it's kind of damp, and I thought, well, you know, I might as well go to the restroom area and take a shower. That way I can get done, and that way there's before the lines and stuff. So I went over, and there's this shower area with a bathroom area, like 8 stalls in the boys' room, and it's located next to this forest line, about a football field away from where the group was.
Yes.
So I went over and walked into the bathroom and, you know, got my stuff, and I sensed something like a presence, and I just kind of dismissed it because I was only 11 years old. I wasn't really thinking about anything bad or anything. And so, and then I heard like a giggle, like a little kid, and I start looking underneath the stalls, and there's nobody there. And I look out the window. I could jump up and look out the window, and everyone's asleep. And so the giggles stopped. And so I proceeded to take a shower, and I sudsed my hair. And then all of a sudden, I heard these children laughing, and it started to scare me.
Again, children. Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. Listen, we're at a break point. I want you to hold on. We'll finish this up when we get back after the break. All right.
Okay.
All right, hold tight. From the high desert in the middle of the night on Halloween 05, I'm Art Bell. Keep it right where you've got it.
I've had nothing but bad luck since the day I saw the cat at my door. So I came into you, sweet lady, answering your mystery.